Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater, I am your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious and effervescent Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Carl?
Hey, it's August 18th, and this is program 310 in the series. And we have some classic radio shows for our listeners all the way till 2 a.m. We're going to start things off with what you said is a fan favorite, for sure. The Jack Benny Program from 1950. Then it's Dimension X, a good sci-fi adventure from 1950 as well. And then it's The Lineup, a good crime story from 1952. It's all brought to you by Cat's Pride. And we're going to play our game now. Cat's Pride, crack the quote. What is the movie?
The movie is Shutter Island from 2010.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio.
All right.
Good film.
You got this one, Carl?
I don't know.
It's been
a while since I saw it, but it's a very good film. All right, what do they win?
They're going to win a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers, and everybody loves the weather station.
All right, call us right now. Play the game with us, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We'll take the fifth caller. You can win a weather station, and you can play the game on the air. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Listen to you every week. I enjoy the show.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm glad you made it through, and I'm glad you're a regular listener. We're going to do a little Crack the Quote. You ready to go? Number one. When I sliced her, she hollered. Right. Number two, when I slashed her, she cried. Number three, when I cut her, she screamed. What are you rolling your eyes
Nothing.
For? Okay, good. What do you think, Glenn?
I'm going to go with number three.
Number three, when I cut her, she screamed.
I'm going to go with number one.
Number one, when I sliced her, she hollered.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hear it.
When I cut her, she screamed.
There you go. Nothing to it. Glenn, you're a big winner. You've got the... Carl, maybe next time. You've got the desktop indoor weather station.
That's my life story.
I know. It's brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-Minute Men. You can give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. Thank you so much for playing, Glenn. You did a great job.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Glenn. All right, before we start with the Jack Benny Program, I want to remind all of our listeners we have a text in line. It is 312-981-7200. Text us. Let us know what you want to hear. If you have any questions about the show, any comments, we love hearing from our listeners. 312-981-7200. And also, real quickly, if you want to learn more about the Classic Radio Club, we've got a lot of people texting and asking about the Classic Radio Club. We started a new club. And you're all invited to join. And when you do join, you get your first 5-CD set with 10 classic radio shows for only $5, $4.99, actually, plus shipping and handling. So this is a $39.95 collection of 5 CDs, 10 shows, in a collector case, only $4.99. To learn more about it, just go to our website, WGN Radio Theater. You'll see a banner. You can click on that, or just go to classicradioclub.com. Right, Lisa?
Right, and we will rush your first 5-CD collection with 10 of the greatest classic radio shows to you right away, $4.99. It's a bargain.
Yep, check it out, and then you're part of the club. You'll get CDs sent to your home every single month, a 5-CD set every single month. Now, it's time for Jack Benny. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Now, Jack Benny, as Lisa said, fan favorite, probably the most well-known, probably the most successful comedian to come out of radio, then into TV, into the movies. He was on the radio for many, many years, and he really played himself on the radio, sort of a fictionalized version of himself. kind of a stingy guy, but really in real life, he was not a stingy guy. He was really a generous guy. He had all these characters all around him that made everybody laugh. On this particular episode, he and the gang go see the USC-UCLA football game. Let's go back to November 26, 1950. Here's part one of the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny program. Program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, the Sportsman Quartet, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday USC and UCLA met in their annual football classic. So let's go out to Jack Benny's house a few hours before the game.
We better hurry, Jack, or we'll miss the kickoff.
Yeah, let's go already.
Just a minute. I want to copy the lineups out of the paper.
Here's a pencil, boss.
Thanks.
But, Jack, you can buy a program when you get to the Coliseum.
Why do that when the lineups are right here in the paper? Now, let's see.
Well, it's silly to copy it. Why don't you just cut them out?
Because we have to put the paper back on the Coleman's porch.
Yeah. Now, let's see. Here's UCLA's lineup. Moomaw, Narletsky, Flynn, Stroshine, Livingston. Livingston? Mary?
That's Cliff Livingston.
Oh. I thought it was your sister, Babe.
No, Jack. Babe is with the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Livingston, Mitchell, Cogswell.
I used to play football when I was in high school.
Really, Dennis? What position did you play?
Bent over like the rest of them.
Livingston, Mitchell, Cogswell.
Gee, I'll never forget our big game. I was the quarterback, and there was just a few seconds to play. The score was tied, and we had the ball on their one-yard line. It was the first down, so I called for the water boy.
What?
While everybody else was drinking, I ran for a touchdown.
But, Dennis, that doesn't count.
I know, I forgot the ball.
But, Dennis, how could you...
Wait a minute, Mary. Wait a minute. I'll take it. Dennis, did you also play football in college?
No.
You're sure you didn't play college football?
No, why?
Well, some years ago in a Rose Bowl game, a player ran 80 yards in the wrong direction, and I thought it might have been you. Now, let's see.
Well, that was my father.
Well, at least I had it in the right family. Now, let's see. I've got the lineup copied. Rochester, don't forget to put the paper back on the Coleman's porch.
Yes, sir.
And did you make the sandwiches?
Uh-huh, and I put your Ovaltine in a whiskey bottle like you told me to.
Ovaltine in a whiskey bottle?
When Mr. Benny takes his 3 o'clock nap, he wants people to think he passed out.
Never mind. Did you pack my binoculars, Rochester?
No, I thought you'd rather carry them. Here.
Thanks.
Jack, when'd you buy those binoculars?
When I got my television set, I used them for watching Faye Emerson. I stopped when she brought Skitch Henderson on. Hand me the basket, Rochester. Come in. Well, Mr. Kitzel.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Oh, my, I just dropped by to return this roasting pan you loaned me for Thanksgiving.
Oh, good, good.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving dinner, Mr. Kitzel?
Oh, it was wonderful. Thanksgiving is the one day in the year that all my wife's relatives gather together, unfortunately, at my house.
Why, Mr. Kitzel, you sound a little sarcastic.
Oh, not intentional. I love having all our relatives for dinner, excepting my wife's brother. Is he a glutton?
A big appetite, huh?
Ooh, 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 appetite. He eats like there's no tomorrow.
Oh, Mr. Kitzel, you're joking.
Joking, he says. Mr. Benny, he sat down and had 6 portions of turkey, 3 helpings of cranberry sauce, 8 portions of dressing. To the yams, he went back 4 times. Gravy you could swim in it, and the rolls Einstein couldn't count it.
Gosh, I bet he didn't have room for dessert.
That he had first. He wasn't taking any chances.
Oh.
But mad I can't get at him because he and my wife happens to be twins.
Twins? Well, do they look alike?
Fortunately for both of them, no.
Oh, well, Mr. Kitzel, we're going to the football game. Would you like to join us?
No, I'd love to, Mr. Benny, but I want to get home before my brother-in-law leaves.
Why?
He may get sick, and this I got to see. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Kitzel. Oh, what Mr. Kitzel goes through on Thanksgiving.
Say, Mr. Benny, why don't you invite us over for Thanksgiving dinner this year like you always do?
Well, I intend to do, Dennis, but I had a little trouble with the butcher.
Well, every time you go to buy something, you have trouble.
Well, this time it wasn't my fault. Turkeys were so expensive that when I started to dicker with the butcher, he got mad, handed me an egg, and said, "Here, take this home, sit on it, and hatch your own turkey." Smart aleck butcher. Turned out to be a duck. Days yet. Well, come on, kids. Gee, I hadn't lived that. Well, come on, kids. Let's leave for the game.
Oh, I'm ready. Oh, by the way, Mr. Benny, which team are you going to cheer for?
UCLA.
Why?
Well, I live in Beverly Hills near the college, so it's the neighborly thing for me to cheer for the UCLA team.
And besides, he washes their jerseys.
Yeah, those grass stains are murder. Okay, I hope UCLA wins.
Well, I'm going to be cheering for USC.
Who are you going to root for, Dennis?
Notre Dame.
Dennis, Notre Dame isn't even playing.
I know, but this year they need all the cheers they can get.
For a minute, I thought you were going to have a silly reason. Now, come on, let's go out and get in the car, kids.
Say, Jack, those trees on your lawn sure look beautiful.
Don't they, though?
I say, Benita, where's the morning paper?
Oh, my goodness,
if that Benny fellow bonnet...
Dennis, cut that out! What a kid. You know, Dennis, sometimes you're going to...
Hey, Jackson, Jackson!
Huh?
Jack, it's Phil. Hi, Phil.
Hiya, Libby. What are you doing over here at King Solomon's Mines?
Phil, not so loud. Remember, you're in Beverly Hills.
Stop bragging about it. Some place is Beverly Hills.
Why, what's the matter?
I was driving down the street, stuck out my hand to make a left turn, and someone stole the olive out of my martini.
Oh, that's a shame, Phil. And after you took it sightseeing all the way from Encino. Hey, Phil, that's a beautiful car you're driving. Is it new?
Yeah, brand new Cadillac. I bought it for Alice. Thought I'd surprise her.
You? You bought a car for Alice?
Yeah, them joint bank accounts are wonderful.
Phil.
When Alice finds out I learn how to write my name, she'll kill me.
Oh, you know now. Yeah. You know how to write, huh? Well, I can't believe it. Go ahead, Phil. Let me hear you spell your name.
Okay. P-H-I-L. H-A-R-I-S.
Phil, you left out an R.
Oh, yes. H-A-R-I-S-R.
Phil, my only regret is that I have but one band leader to give to NBC.
Say, Phil, we're going to the football game. Why don't you join us?
I'd like to, Liv, but I can't. Well, so long, kids. See you later.
Goodbye. Bye, Phil.
Oh, wait, kids. Don't forget to listen to me Monday night. I'm going to be on the Lux Radio Theater.
Lux?
L-O-X.
That's Lux.
Well, that's closer than I got with Harris.
Yeah, closer. So long, sir. Well, let's go, kids. Is everything all ready, Rochester?
Yes, sir.
Come on. Let's get in the car, everybody.
Say, Jack, your car looks much nicer.
Thanks, Mary.
You've even got new seat covers.
That's the top. It sags a little.
Yeah. Now, come on, Dennis. Mary, hop in. Go ahead, Rochester. Start the car.
Yes, sir.
There's Mel Blanc there doing the vocal sounds of Jack's Maxwell engine on his car. And that's part one of the Jack Benny program from 1950. More coming your way in just a few minutes. You know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
I hit the wrong button.
I know.
You know what? It's 11:29 and 36 seconds, which means we're going to be right on time for the news.
We're always pretty close, right, David? He can attest to that.
Yeah, just a few minutes. Or just a few seconds, we'll have the news. When we come back from the news, though, we'll have the conclusion to the Jack Benny program. And then after that, we have a good science fiction drama on Dimension X from 1950 called The Lost Race. Really good episode. Then after that, we have a crime story on The Lineup. You know what that was? Like, you know, The Lineup, like when all the bad guys line up on
Not necessarily all bad
guys. Well, that's true.
Maybe
none of them. But they would get people.
And they could be women,
too. That actually happened to me one time.
You were in a lineup?
I had a video store years and years ago when I was like maybe 20 or 21. And a police officer came in and said, excuse me, could you come with me? And I said, why? He said, we need people for a lineup. This is a true story. I swear to you, this is a true story. I go, yeah, okay. I go there. I'm in the lineup. The woman picks me.
Did she really?
It's a true story. She picked me.
What
I don't know what the crime. I'm not sure what
so
the crime.
So did they let you go?
Well, yeah, because they knew it wasn't me. But she picked me out of the lineup.
You know, you've got
lineup.
A bad guy face.
Yeah, I'm a ne'er-do-well.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
We have Shante Garth back with us this week. She's our producer.
We're happy that you're back.
Yes. Curtis Koch was here for the last, week?
He was here last week, and then we had Ashley the week before.
Yeah, but Shante, our regular producer, is back. Hi, Shante. And we love her, and she's fantastic, and she's amazing. And we are now going to play the conclusion to the Jack Benny program.
Rochester, why is the motor spitting like that?
We can't stand each other.
Oh, stop. Try it again.
Yes, sir.
There we are. The motor was just cold.
Uh-oh.
What's the matter, Rochester?
I forgot to bring the sandwiches.
Well, it's too late now. Maybe after the game we can stop and get something to eat.
Okay, Jack, but this time let's go to a restaurant instead of a drive-in.
Well, don't you like drive-ins, Mary?
Sure, but the last time Jack drove into one, the girl put the tray on the door and the car turned over.
It did not. Now, come on, kids, let's enjoy the ride. By the way, Dennis, what are you going to sing on the program this week?
Oh, it's called All My Love. Would you like to hear me sing it?
Sure, Dennis. That would be nice while we're driving along. Now, go ahead. Go ahead and sing. And wait a minute. Mary, did you drop something?
No.
Then what are you bending over for?
I'm hiding till we pass the May Company.
Well, go ahead and sing, Dennis. Go ahead.
I give you all my love. The skies may fall, my love, but I will still be true. All my sighs will disappear at last. Now that you're here at last, my heart belongs to you. I recall my life. I've waited all my life to give you all my love. I've waited all my life to give you all my love.
Very good, Dennis, especially the finish. I never knew you could hit such a high note.
Neither did I. When I came to it, the spring in the seat broke through.
As long as you hit it, that's all. Mary, you can get up now. We passed the May Company.
I'm ducking for the one on Crenshaw.
You passed that one, too. Oh, Rochester, we're getting closer to the Coliseum. You better start looking for a place to park.
There's a parking lot, 25 cents.
Yeah.
There's one, 50 cents.
Keep driving, Rochester.
But, Jack, the lots close to the Coliseum charge $2 for parking.
Well, it's worth it. Look at all the walking it saves. If you want convenience, you've got to pay for it. Rochester, drive into this lot.
The $2 one?
Yes. Come on, kids.
Oh, here comes the attendant.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello, Joe. How's business?
Very good. I'll bring the money over to your house tonight.
Good. Come on, kids.
Jack, do you own...
Come on. We'll be late for the game. Dennis, don't lag behind.
Oh, I'm coming.
Gee, what a lot of people going to the game.
Jack, maybe you ought to give Dennis his ticket. He may get lost in the crowd.
No, he won't get lost. I've been holding his hand ever since we left the parking lot.
How can you be holding Dennis's hand? He's on the other side of me.
Well, I've been holding... Oh, pardon me, madam.
Oh, that's all right. I rather enjoyed it.
Thank you. Are you going to see the football game?
Oh, yes. My boy is playing today.
Really? What does he play?
The tuba.
The tuba? Oh, he's in the band.
Yes. Maybe you've heard of him. Big Mouth McDonald.
Well, I'll watch for him at the half.
You can't miss him. On low notes, he drools a little.
I'll find him. Goodbye. Come on, kids, let's hurry. We don't want to miss the kickoff. Say, Mary, these seats aren't bad, are they?
No, they're fine.
Can you see all right, Dennis? Dennis. Now, where is Dennis?
Attention, please. Will Mr. Jack Benny please report to the lost and found department?
I will not. Let him stay there. It's the last time I take that kid anyplace. Every time we go, I always have that trouble.
Jack, look! They're getting ready to start the game.
Yeah, the teams are lining up.
Attention, please. Mr. Benny, will you please come to the lost and found department? He's driving us nuts.
Jack, go get Dennis.
I'm not going to leave now. Here comes the kickoff. Mary, look at that ball go. What a kick. It's going way...
Sorry to bother you, fella, but you're sitting in my seat.
Huh?
That seat belongs to me. Would you mind moving?
Well, you must be mistaken. My ticket says row 72, seat 4, and this is it.
Yeah, well, that's what my ticket says, so if you don't get out of the seat, I'll sit on your lap.
Look, mister...
Come on, get out of the seat or I'll punch you right in the nose.
Oh, yeah?
Mary, please. I'll handle this.
Oh, you will, huh?
Mister, let go of my lapel. You don't have to get that excited. Now, wait a minute. I'm sure the usher can straighten it out. Oh, there's one. Oh, Usher. That's all I need. Look, Usher, I have a ticket for row 72, seat 4, and this man has a ticket for the same seat. How did that happen?
I don't know, but won't it be cozy?
Never mind that. What are you going to do about it?
Well, if you like, you can sit in seat 6, row 12, on the 50-yard line.
Oh, is that seat vacant?
It ought to be. It's in the Rose Bowl.
Stop being so smart. You are, without a doubt, the most stupid, inefficient, blundering...
When you say that, smile.
Why?
We're on television.
Well, that's the last straw. I've got a good mind to
you
take...
You lay a hand on me and I'll pull the cork out of your Ovaltine.
Oh, get out of here. Mary, where's that other man?
He's gone.
Good. Come on, we want a touchdown. We want a touchdown.
Jack, stop yelling. It's timeout.
Oh.
Jack, look. The cheering section is getting up.
Oh, yes.
Rah, 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 rah. Fight 'em, sock 'em, hey, 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 USC, UCLA.
Gee, they're rooting for both teams. Hey, Mary, Don Wilson must have had something to do with that.
Jack, they're starting to play again.
Yeah.
All right, get your hot dogs. Get your red hots here. Hot dogs.
Mary, you want a hot dog?
No, thanks.
Oh, I'll have one of them, mister.
Yes, sir. One hot dog coming up. Would you like relish?
Relish, yes.
Chopped onion?
Uh-huh.
Mayonnaise?
Yes, yes.
Chili sauce?
Yes.
You'll have to get them someplace else. All I got is mustard.
Just give me the hot dog.
Hey, UCLA's got the ball.
Yeah, look at that Marlinsky move. Wow, what a tackle they threw on him.
Look, he's still lying there. Must have knocked the wind out of him.
Get up! Get up! The grass is staining your jersey. Attaboy.
Attention, Mr. Benny. Please, please come and get him. You can't do this, Dodge. How many Irish songs can we listen to?
Jack, you better go and get Dennis.
Oh, all right. Pardon me. Excuse me.
Peanuts, popcorn, get your hot buttered popcorn here.
Hello, Sonny.
Hello, Mr. Benny. We're doing great.
Good. If you get stuck with any, cry a little. I'll see you later. Now, let's see. Let's see, where's the lost and found department? I'll ask this fella here. Oh, pardon me, mister. Can you tell me where the lost and found department is?
No, I'm a stranger here.
Well, I know. Wait a minute. I've seen you before. What's your name?
Tavoni. John L. C. Tavoni.
Well, Mr. Savoni, don't you remember me?
Nope.
But you must. Remember one day you stopped me on the street about a year ago, asked me for a dime for a cup of coffee, and I gave you 50 cents.
Holy smoke, it's Jack Benny.
Well, I thought maybe you'd forgotten me.
Oh, no. I tell all my fraternity brothers that you're my friend.
Fraternity? Mr. Savoni, for a college man, what's happened to you?
I'm a poor little limb with torn astray.
Now, look. Look, Mr. Savoni.
You're my pal. You can call me John.
Well, thank you. Now, John, you're always short of money. How did you manage to get into the Coliseum?
Well, I tell you how it happened anyway. I was walking down the street. I wasn't doing anything. Just walking down the street. I didn't feel like doing anything. Just walking down the street. And a fellow comes up to me and says, "Hey, you." I said, "Who?" He said, "You." I said, "Me?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What do you want?" He said, "You want to buy a ticket to the football game?" I said, "How much you want for the football ticket. He said, $3. So I gave him the $3 and I came to the football game.
But look it, you're always broke. Where'd you get the $3 to buy this ticket?
While we were standing there talking, it got kind of chilly. So I put my hand in his pocket.
Well, at least you gave the man his money back. Did you take anything else?
No, but he gave me his card.
Card? Let me see it. J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover?
Yeah, he made me so nervous.
Mr. Savoni, why don't you get some ambition? Go out and find yourself a job. Settle down. Get married.
Oh, I was married once, but my wife threw me out.
Well, why would she do a thing like that?
I don't know. I was just hanging around the house. I wasn't doing anything.
I see what you mean. Yeah. So long, Mr. Savoni.
So long.
Now, let's see. I wonder where...
Oh, Jack, Jack.
Huh?
Did you find Dennis?
No, and I'm not going to bother. Come on, let's go back to our seats.
What seats? The game is over.
It is? What was the score?
39-0.
39? Oh, isn't that cute? I'll bet they did that just for me. Come on, Mary, let's go home. We're a little late. Good night, folks.
Be sure to hear Dennis Day and the Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Next week, Amos and Andy will be our special guests. John L.C. Savoni was played by Frankie Fontaine. Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is the Jack Benny program, November 26, 1950. Jack had just made a move from NBC. He was with NBC for years and years and years, but there was this big raid. CBS was raiding NBC's biggest stars, and they offered Jack Benny like a multi-million dollar deal if he'd come over to CBS. Not only to do his radio show, but then to enter television. CBS was very smart because they knew television was the future. So they were saying to themselves and all of their executives, let's raid our competitor, NBC, pay whatever it takes to get them to come over, you know, get their biggest stars to come over to CBS, because then we'll transition them into television. And Jack Benny was one of the biggest. They also got Burns and Allen to come over as well, and many other big stars. And this was a good broadcast, November 26th, 1950, of the Jack Benny program. More of the WGN Radio Theater coming your way after these words. In the next hour, we're going to tune into Dimension X. We're going to rocket off into interstellar space, Lisa, where you go often with
Often.
Often.
I don't say it with the T.
You say often?
I do. You say often?
I think I say often, yeah.
Yeah, I do the silent O-F-T. T.
Yeah.
It's spelled that way.
Yeah.
I just do the silent T. See, mm-hmm. You say tomato and I say often.
Right. Then after that, it's the lineup. But I want to remind all of our listeners about the Classic Radio Club. We started this. We launched it like a week or two ago, and a lot of people have been signing up to it, and I'm really excited about it because every single month I will be selecting 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time from my library of about 100,000 shows. I'm handpicking these shows to send to you folks. They are on 5 CDs. These are not burned CDs. These are actually replicated CDs from a factory. They're going to be, you know, just like if you were to buy a CD set in a store. They are packaged in a collector case, all shrink wrapped. It's really, really nice. I'm writing liner notes for these things. It's going to be really cool. Now, you can get your first 5-CD collection with 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time. You're going to get Abbott and Costello along with the Who's On First. You'll get Sam Spade, Dimension X, Escape, Fibber McGee and Molly, Gunsmoke, Have Gun Will Travel, Inner Sanctum, Jack Benny, and Suspense. Now, you're going to get these you're going to get these 10 shows on 5 CDs for only $5, $4.99. It's all you pay plus shipping and handling. We will rush them out to you, and as I said, there's full liner notes that I've written about these things. Then every month, unless you cancel, you will get another 5 CDs sent to you with 10 shows that I'm going to hand select, and you will never get a duplicate show. And as I say, these may be shows that have never seen the light of day since they originally broadcast. A lot of them are going to be direct from the archives. You're not going to believe how great the quality is going to be. It's like what we air here, the quality. You'll get these 5 CDs every single month. Now, that month 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 will be $14.99. So it's $10 more than the initial when you initially sign up for only $4.99. But this is normally a $39.95 offer. So you're saving about 60%+ off the regular price every single month. But the first time, it's only $5 for the 5 CDs and 10 shows. Now, Lisa got hers, right? You got yours in the mail?
I did.
Yeah, what did you think of it?
Yeah, well, it's a pretty fancy-dancy set it you is got fancy. Going there. And I do appreciate that you're choosing the best of the best.
Yeah.
In such a nice, varied collection.
Can you bring your CD set tomorrow and we
yes,
take some
I
pictures
can.
Of it?
I would love to.
I'd like people to see it because it's pretty cool. Now, if you want to learn more about this club, folks, I'd love you to join. As I say, only $4.99 to join, and you get your first 5 CD set with 10 shows. Just go to classicradioclub.com. Classicradioclub.com. You'll learn all about it. We'd love you to sign up, and I promise you're going to have a lot of fun. This is a new club that we've just started just about a week or so ago. A lot of people have been signing up for it, and they're going to enjoy their CDs, and I hope you will too. All right, in our next hour, it is Dimension X, so stick around.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, David. It is 12:09 here on a Sunday morning. Happy Sunday, Lisa.
Yes, it is Sunday already.
We have Shante Garth in the booth, and we have great classic radio shows all the way till 2 a.m. in this hour. It's a great sci-fi adventure on Dimension X, a show called The Lost Race, starring Joseph Julian. That's coming your way in just a few minutes. Then after that, it's The Lineup, a good crime story called The Buggered Bunko Boys. Buggered Bunko Boys, starring Bill John. Say that 5 times fast.
No, that's okay. You did a good job.
from 1952. But right now, Lisa, it's time to play our game, Cat's Pride. Crack the quote. What is the movie?
The movie is The Grapes of Wrath.
Grapes of Wrath. Wow. John Steinbeck wrote that movie.
That's right. Well,
and he wrote the book. And then I'm pretty sure Henry Fonda starred in the movie. I could be wrong. I think it was Henry Fonda.
Could be. I can
but,
check
all right,
for
we'll
you.
Check that out. All right, so what do they win?
We're going to win your favorite prize. What have you been wanting for a very long time?
I've been wanting the level thing.
That's right. That's the Never Measure.
The Never
this
Measure.
Is your chance to win the Never Measure.
I can't win it, though.
I know you can't, but everybody out there can. If you call in, and if you've never called before, we'd love to hear from you.
I hang a lot of pictures and things.
I
could really use one of these.
You can easily, you can center, you can level,
I
you
have
hang
no
all
clout.
Your wall things fast.
We talk
easy.
About it every week, and I never get one.
I know you
do. Got one.
Well, I don't share well, so.
Jeez.
A call for the Never Measure. Which caller would you like?
I'll take the third caller.
Oh, third.
Yeah, third caller. 312-981-7200. Play the game live on the air. Call us now. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Hi, Colleen.
Hey.
How are you?
How are you?
So good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, I'm glad you got through, and I'm glad you're going to play a little Crack the Quote with us, because Carl needs all the help he can get.
Oh, boy, do I. Hi, Colleen.
Okay, it should be fun.
Okay, sounds good. The movie is The Grapes of Wrath from 1940. You ready to go?
I am ready.
Okay, number one. You can't buy no loaf of bread for a dime. Number two. Life don't turn on a dime.
It's not very good English there, Lisa.
Well, I'm so sorry. It didn't come from my own brain, although some of them did. Number three, a bottle of red, a bottle of white.
It's not that one.
A bottle of red.
What do you think?
I'm hoping it was the third one, yeah, but it's probably not that one.
I don't think so.
That's a little Billy Joel for you.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Thanks.
I think it was You Can't Buy No Loaf of Bread for a Dime because of the bread lines often heard of or spoken of during those times. I think it was the first quote.
All right. Carl?
She sounds super smart. I'm sticking with her.
Okay. She certainly does. Let's see if she's right.
You can't buy no loaf of bread for a dime.
There you
See?
Go. Nothing to it.
But, she is got it right.
But either way, we're so happy because you have won the Never Measure.
I want one of those.
I know. Maybe she'll share because I really don't. You can easily center and level and hang your wall decorations fast. No need to use a measuring tape or calculate fractions. It is veteran-owned, made in the USA. You can check it out at nevermeasure.com. Thank you so much for playing, Colleen.
Thank you.
Take care.
It. Thank you so much.
Me too.
Bye, Colleen. All right. She's a big winner, and so are our listeners, because it's time now, Lisa, for Dimension X. This was really a great sci-fi series, and it was aimed at adults. You know, a lot of the sci-fi shows back during the golden age of radio, they were aimed at kids. You know, you had all these like Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon, things like that. That was all for kids. But then in 1950, Dimension X came to radio, to NBC Radio, and it was really aimed at adults. And it was really one of the first. I mean, there were some sci-fi stories prior to Dimension X, but really not a like reoccurring show every single week that was aimed at adults. And they had the best writers in the business, including George Lefferts and Ernest Canoy, and they adapted stories out of Astounding Science Fiction magazine, which was the premier magazine for adult science fiction. And all the great writers wrote for Astounding Science Fiction magazine, including Ray Bradbury, Isaac Asimov, Frederick Brown, Robert Heinlein. And there were 50 shows produced originally. Then it went off the air, and it came back to radio a few years later, revamped as X-1. So really Dimension X and X-1 were the same group of people putting it together. It was all done on the East Coast, so it had all the top East Coast actors in it, including Joseph Julian, who is the star of this particular episode called The Lost Race from May 20th, 1950. Here's part one now of Dimension X.
Adventures in time and space, told in future tense.
Dimension X.
When man first crossed the vast distances of outer space to land on strange worlds, he found that someone had been there before him. The ruined canals of Mars, the smashed cities of Titan and Centaurus 2 and 3, all these were evidence that 100,000 years ago, a race of intelligent beings built their cities across the galaxy. They knew space travel, atomic power, astrophysics, and engineering. And then they destroyed themselves completely, so that of all the cities on 1,000 worlds, only dust and rubble remained. Why? Why did these beings obliterate all record of themselves? That is the mystery of the lost race. The freighter Carilla, bound out of Earth for Cetus Alpha 2, came into normal flight after 103 days in overdrive. The stars were unfamiliar. The constellations known on Earth had disappeared. But there was a yellow sun off to port, and about it revolved three planets.
What do you make of it, Briggs?
It isn't on any of the star charts, Captain Wharton. I checked through.
One and three are dead, all right. Have to take a closer look at number two. Turn up the vision scale. Polar ice caps. She's green around the belt. Let's take her down to a 5-mile orbit. Swing around her for a look. Alert for deceleration.
Aye, sir.
Throw in the manuals. Power room.
Power room, aye.
We're going down to have a look at something. Give us just enough power to keep her under control. All right, Briggs. Hang on to your stomach.
You sent for me, Captain Wharton?
Come in, Mr. Howell.
Do you mind if I sit down?
Free fall sickness?
Well, I'm afraid I'm not an old space hand. Oof.
We'll level out in a minute.
Do you want something?
Yes. We come out of overdrive, smack in the middle of a new planetary system. Briggs says it's unreported.
Well, that's rather good news, isn't it?
Depends. First report's pretty common. But we'll stake a claim on her, in case there are any mineral discoveries.
Well, I meant the possibility of archaeological finds.
I'm afraid I'll leave that to you, Mr. Howell. You're the expert.
Coming up five, Captain.
Level off. Hang on, Howell. Power room. Hold her steady, she goes. We'll orbit at slow cruising speed. All right. Clear the scope, Briggs.
Aye, sir.
Nice looking piece of real estate. Well, the space guard requires I check up for radioactives, gold, and lost race rooms.
You're landing?
Landing. I've got a schedule to keep, Mr. Howell. I can't sit down on every lump of dirt I run into. We'll do a spectroscope check, and I figured you'd spot any ruins.
All right. Wait a minute.
Hmm?
There in the lower quadrant.
What?
That bald spot in the vegetation. Those are ruins, all right.
Are you sure, Howell?
Yes. I've seen the lost race rubble on Centaurus 2. There. You can see it plainly, dust and rubble.
Oh, that's what I get for calling in an expert. Briggs, stand by to take it down to 5,000 feet.
Aye, sir.
All this stinking luck. There goes my schedule. Seen enough, Howell? This is going to set me back 5 hours.
Interesting. Wait a minute.
What's wrong?
What? I don't believe it. Marvelous. Incredible.
Stop sputtering, Hal. What is it?
Look over that rise in the ground. It's a section of the city still standing.
Hey, you're right.
That hill must have shielded it from the blast. Captain, you've got to land.
Land?
You've got to. This is the first lost race site that's ever been spotted. Of course you'll land.
Howell, we get a $1,000 bonus for every day under par for the run.
But you don't understand. It's the biggest find in the century.
We can chart it, and you'll have to get back somehow. But that's all. I'm not sitting down to rake over old dust heaps.
Captain Wharton, I'm on commission to the Space Guard. You may have to answer to them.
I'll think up one. Look, Howell, strictly speaking, you're a passenger.
Well, you've got
you
to land.
You don't belong on the bridge. I'm not landing down there unless...
Briggs! Emergency from the power room. Something must have blown.
Power room. Power room. Danton, what's wrong down there? Danton.
He doesn't answer.
Anything serious, Captain?
Reaches the fuel locker. That 5 pounds of ascending will go and kick us right out of space. Danton! Danton!
Power room, aye.
What happened? What blew?
Main tube coupling. She's secured now.
What's the damage?
The main tube's burnt out. The bearing, the coupling, the injector valve, and the needle gauge.
Can you make repairs?
Not in flight.
Can you raise enough power to land?
I don't know, Captain. The wiring's shot. She's flat like a tomcat. I might be able to get something from the deceleration auxiliaries.
Get a jury rig on her. We'll try to set her down.
Aye, sir.
Briggs.
Yes, sir.
Alert for crash landing. Signal room. Signal room.
Signal, aye.
Langston, get off a position fix and SOS standby.
Aye, sir.
Well, Mr. Howell, I guess you're going to join your friends in the lost race. I just hope it's not permanently.
Leveled off now, Captain.
Trim her up a point. That's it.
She's bucking bad.
5 more minutes and the hull plates will shake loose. Power room. Stand by for bow blast on signal.
Bow ready.
I'm going to try for that clearing.
Too narrow.
2-1 for a dollar. All right. Hang on.
Briggs! Briggs!
Oh,
you all right?
I hit my head on the panel.
Well, I seem to be ill. All assembled.
We're down. Guess our luck hasn't run out yet. Calling power room.
Power room, aye.
All right down there?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Danton, I want a complete damage check and repair estimate. Get up here as soon as you got it for me. Briggs, you all right now?
Yes, sir, I guess so.
As soon as we get Dan's report, get a detail aft. Help him with the repairs.
Captain Wharton.
What is it, Langston?
My speaker line's out. Sending circuits blew.
Spare tubes?
That was a pretty rough landing, Captain. They're gone. I can't replace them this side of Lunar Space Station.
I see. Well, the SOS ought to do it. And the Space Guard monitor reports opposition.
They aren't going to, Captain.
Why not?
Sending circuits went out when the blast went off down there. I didn't get the SOS out.
Thank you, Langston. Get back and see what you can salvage.
Aye, sir.
Does that mean bad news?
We were in overdrive, Mr. Howell. It would take 40 years to search the distance we've traveled in one day. Consequently, when a ship doesn't make port and doesn't transmit a position fix, they forget about it.
Oh. I see.
And with the radio out, we blast off on our own power. Or we don't get off.
I got your damage report, Captain.
Well?
Here. It's on a B-23 checklist.
Not bad?
Worse.
Danton, how long will it take you for repairs?
I don't know.
An estimate.
I ain't no gypsy fortune teller.
How about the lifeboat?
For deep space? What are they teaching at Sands Point? Basket weaving?
Danton,
lifeboat couldn't lift half a light year off this here mud heap.
Danton, I'll take just so much. Look, can it be converted to bisendium drive?
The converter links were mashed when we came down.
How long is it going to take you to repair the main drive?
Look, Captain, I got two hands. You want me to hold a lug wrench in my teeth?
See here, Danton.
You say here, Captain. The whole lousy crew's been spitting all over me ever since we blasted off. Now you can all wait on me.
Who do you think you are, Danton?
The only power man on this ship, that's who. Ain't satisfied with the way I'm working, go hire yourself another boy. The woods are lousy with him. I'll take my own sweet time.
What's the matter with him? Got a bug in his ear?
Space fatigue, Captain. He's been locked up in the power room 4 days.
Oh, we don't have enough trouble. Briggs, remind me to slug the psychotechnician when we get back. Don't tell me nobody gets into deep space who isn't emotionally stable.
What are you going to do about him, Captain?
Nothing. Stay off his back.
Oh, but you can't.
Captain's the only man who can get us out of here. We want to hit the cradle at New York Spaceport again. We've got to keep him happy.
Captain Wharton, as long as we're landed and we do have to wait for the engines to be fixed, I suppose we can explore the lost race ruins.
Look, Mr. Howell, I can't spare the men. We are now stuck tight until Danton gets those engines fixed. And if he can't, which is entirely possible, we are stuck, period.
Oh, Oh.
Briggs, I want you to keep a careful eye on the men. Space fatigue is nothing compared to what we might run up against now.
Captain Wharton. Captain, I've got it.
The sending circuits?
No, sir, but I picked up the incoming video band.
Well, that's something. Can you get the mail call through? The men could use a little lift right now.
Well, the scheduled one-way personals are due at 2330 Greenwich.
Good. That ought to help morale. Langston, rig the receiving booth.
Aye, sir.
Howell, this is a break. Seeing the folks at home may be enough to keep everybody on an even keel. I know I'll be glad to see that kid of mine.
Mr. Langston, get Hanson out of the booth. You'll wear the glass right off the tube.
Ah, take it easy, Williams. Everybody gets 3 minutes.
Hey, Kelly, I bet that dame of yours burned up the circuits, huh?
How'd you know it was his girl? You can't tell through the booth.
Well, who else would call that eight? What'd you say, Kelly?
Oh, nothing. She don't have to. She just stands in front of the pickup tube and, oh, brother.
I can just see that.
Hey, it's a boy.
A boy.
Alice had a boy. They're going to show him to me in the circuit tomorrow.
Congratulations.
Who's next, Mr. Langston?
The last call's coming through now on ticker. It's for Williams.
Well,
hey, wait a minute, Williams.
Hey, let go of my arm.
What happened to my call? No call today, Dan.
You're a liar, Langston.
Hey.
My girl calls on every scheduled circuit. That must be mine.
Let go, Dad. Maybe Janie was busy waiting tables in the lunchroom.
What do you know about her, Hanson?
You kidding? She's a swell kid. Everybody at New York Spaceport knows her.
Yeah, I've seen you hanging around Jane, too.
Now, wait a minute, Danton.
Take it easy, Danton.
You and Williams made this up between you, didn't you? You're going to take my call, huh, Williams?
You're space happy.
You used to hang around with her before I cut you out.
Now, listen, Danton, you were lucky enough to get her. Met well enough alone.
You bet I got her, all right, and you're not going to steal her back. Williams, I'm going to...
Are you crazy? Danton! Get him off me!
Lion!
Get him off!
Hey, what's going on in here?
Let him fight!
I'm going to kill you, you... Double
crush
him.
Fight.
Guy, my back.
Grab him, Hanson. Get his arm.
Oh, me.
Nobody took your call. Calm down,
Danton. Right,
I'll fix all of it.
Look out. He's got a wrench.
Danton.
He's nuts. Nobody gets a call. Nobody. How do you like that, Williams? You ain't going to hear from Janie no more. How do you like that?
After him. Kelly. Hanson.
The airlock. He's left the ship.
Let him go, the jealous screwball.
Sure. But that's the only man who can get us off of here.
I warned you, so help me, Briggs. I warned you to keep an eye on Danton.
Well, I didn't think he'd go off this way.
Well, it's that girl of his, sir. He's crazy jealous about her.
Any reason for it, Williams?
No, sir. She's a good kid. Too good for Danton. I guess he's just so afraid of losing her to some other guy, he's getting psychopathic about it.
Well, we've got to get him back. I want every man equipped and ready for search parties immediately.
Aye, sir.
Williams, rig some portable searchlights and issue hand blasters and radiation tickers. Kelly.
Aye, sir.
You head the second party. If you find Danton, send up a signal flare.
Aye, sir.
Unless we do find him, we'll be on this planet until the next freighter stumbles on us. Maybe 10,000 years from now.
All right, that's the first portion of Dimension X with The Lost Race, starring Joseph Julian from 1950. And I think you're space happy, he said.
I am
you're
space happy.
You're space happy, Lisa.
Right.
You know that?
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Right?
It's probably a good thing.
Probably.
Yeah. We'll get back to Dimension X, a good story called The Lost Race.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
The songs, you know? The songs that we were doing for each other.
Well, maybe we could come
up.
We need to come up with a new game.
A new
game. That's the bottom line. And then you won't miss it anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Something with music, though.
About like the old show, the old radio show. Name that tune.
I just said that not 15
oh, you're
minutes
kidding.
Ago. I said to Carl, we should do some version of Name That Tune. That's exactly what I said. You know why? Because when I sang Bottle of Red, Bottle
mm-hmm,
of White,
yeah.
That's when I said we should do a Name That Tune.
Well, now, there was Hit Parade on radio,
mm-hmm.
right, Carl?
Yes.
Long time ago.
Yeah, it was called Your Hit Parade.
Right, very popular. In fact, Frank Sinatra appeared on it for, I think, about a year
many
or so.
Many years. Yeah. Many years he was on there.
I'm not going to be singing. I don't know about you.
What about something like The Dating Game? Remember that show?
I love
well,
The
that
Dating
Game. Well, that was TV, but that wasn't...
Yeah, but that would work on the radio.
It would work on radio.
Are you putting yourself up for a date, Carl?
Well, Carl needs one.
No.
He's Bachelor 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, something fun like Dating Game or... Mm-hmm. Password or
the password.
Password was good.
I like password.
Password could be good, Roger.
We should
figure this out.
Or maybe the match game. I love the match game.
The match game. What was that?
You don't remember that?
Mm,
six stars were over there, and they would have a double entendre type of clue, and there would be a blank.
I'll tell you what would work.
No, not like that.
Lisa, Lisa, and Roger, you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Ready for this one?
Okay.
What's My Line?
Ooh.
Well, we've talked about that many
times. That would work on radio.
We think that What's My Line would make such a great segment on the radio.
Yeah. I think we should figure out a What's My Line little 3-4 minute game.
That takes a little more time.
Yeah.
Let's think about it.
It's kind of time consuming because you have to have someone asking questions.
Right. That's a whole segment.
It could be somebody that we have on the phone line. and people are trying to, they can text in and try to guess who it is. Or I can arrange to have someone on the phone and the two of you
but that's a
try
segment.
To guess
that's
who that is.
That's not 3 minutes.
Yeah, no. that'll take a while.
I mean, that's the
three
thing.
Minutes is a lot longer than you think,
no,
I guess,
it's
right?
No, it's not. It's a lot shorter than you think on radio, right, Raj?
You got that right. In fact, we're already 4.5 minutes
there
into
go.
It.
All right, well, let's give it some thought, okay?
All right.
All right, let's figure something out, because I missed the songs.
And that's why I was thinking something like a Your Hit Parade or
Name That Tune.
Name That Tune.
Yeah, that
would
that
incorporate
would be a lot,
the music into
a lot
it.
More.
Yeah.
All right.
Time effective.
All right. Yeah. By the time Dimension X is over in exactly 15 minutes and 22 seconds, let's figure out a game. So come on
right.
in here, Roger. We
okay.
need your help. All right. Let's get back now to Dimension X.
Hold that light up, Hanson.
This is amazing, Captain. Lost Ray's building's actually standing.
Hey!
What is it?
Oh, it's nothing. It's shadow.
This place gives me the willies.
To be able to find out so much about them, their science, art, what they looked like, perhaps even why they destroyed themselves.
I'm beginning to wonder about that, Howell. You sure they destroyed themselves? Maybe they lost a war to another race.
The winners would have left traces. Genghis Khan, the Mongol emperor, left a pile of skulls as a monument after he destroyed his enemies. But there's been nothing like that found.
No clues at all.
Nothing. When they decided to wipe themselves out, they did a thorough job. But why? That's what we've been asking for 50 years. They wanted to end like that.
Captain, there's a rise ahead.
Keep going. Anything on your side, Briggs?
No, sir.
Hanson, what is it?
I don't know. It's a funny kind of a glow. I guess I shot without thinking.
No, get trigger happy. Howell.
Yes, sir?
Where do you think the light is coming from?
Down there. It's an amphitheater.
Stone seats and a hood.
It looks like a band shell. What's up, Captain? Wait a minute. Well, Howell?
I don't know. That's the Lost Race sign on the hood.
The what?
Sort of hieroglyphic. The only thing we'd ever found before, one in each ruin.
What does it mean?
Some kind of a warning, I think.
Come on, we're going down there. Careful now. There's a platform of some kind down there.
Looks like a lecture platform, doesn't it?
Or an altar. This might have been a temple. Perhaps the Lost Grace sign had a religious significance.
It looks like a throne to me.
A throne 5 feet high.
Briggs, climb up there. And see if there are any controls for this machinery.
Aye, sir. Well, this wasn't meant for any man to sit on. There's a lever up here. Shall I try it?
Sure, go ahead.
Hey, what the... What's that mist? It's like a steam bath. I wonder if Kelly and Williams ran into anything
Kelly,
like...
Hold that light up.
Shut up and keep looking for Danton.
What? Look there, in the hood. It's Williams and Kelly.
That crazy jet jockey. When I find
Briggs,
him, I'm going to beat his brain out.
You could see him, a three-dimensional image.
Some kind of television. Get down, Briggs.
Aye, sir. Did you see it, Skipper? I was just thinking about him, and there he was.
And we all saw him. Out of the way. I'm going to try it. This thing can pick up Earth. It'll replace the receiver, damn smashed. Just throw the lever, eh?
What? That's my son. I'll be darned. His music lesson. Say, it reaches Earth, all right. What? Imagine. Television without a transmitter.
Looks like the Lost Race was ahead of us in more ways than one.
Go up and try it, Howell.
It's amazing, amazing. Television without a transmitter. This machine may be the clue to the mystery of the Lost Race.
I'll try it.
Mary, I've told you I like my paper first in the morning.
What?
If that youngster wants to know how the Tigers did, let him wait until I am...
My father in Detroit. Remarkable, Captain. You can see the whole room clearly.
Say, how about me, Captain? Let me get up there. I'd like to see my baby. Alice told me all about it. Oh.
What's the matter, Hanson?
I kicked something, a wrench.
Well, hold it up. It's Danton's. That means he's been here. We're on his trail, all right. Come on, Howell, let's go.
Oh, but the baby, it wouldn't take a minute, Captain.
Later, Hanson. We've got to find Danton first. All right, now, let's get moving. Hold it.
What's that?
The recall flare. Kelly and his men have found Danton. Oh, I hope that crazy fool is in one piece.
We start back now, Captain?
Yes. That came from the ship.
Another flare?
No, that was an explosion. That's all we need now. Something more to happen to the ship. Oh, it's the main jets.
Smashed flat. Of all the stinking
rot. Check through the ship for further damage.
Aye, sir.
Oh, look at those plates. Crumpled like an accordion.
Captain! Oh, Captain!
Here comes Kelly's party.
We got him. Got Danton. Hold it. What happened here?
Somebody blew up the main jets. Danton, do you know anything about this?
No, sir.
Not much, he doesn't. He's crazy enough to blow us all up.
Listen, Hanson, I admit I went off my head tonight, but I'm not crazy enough to commit suicide. The jets of Smash were all marooned up the same creek.
I still think he's got something to do with it.
Lay off, Hanson. We found him wandering up in the hills. And he was with us when the blast went off.
Yes, that's right. We saw your recall flare before the explosions. Oh, I guess that put Danton on the clear.
Well, then who did it, Captain?
I don't know, Hal. Looks like somebody didn't want us to leave this planet. Well, we still got one slim chance left. If we can repair the lifeboat.
Skipper, it's gone.
Gone?
The escape port is open. The boat's missing.
What? Oh, what else?
The arms chest was cleaned out, sir, and the fuel locker was jimmied open. The bisendium bars are gone.
You sure?
You look for yourself, sir. She's clean.
I see. There's only one answer left. There's something or somebody out in those ruins trying to get us. Maybe that lost race decided they weren't going to stay lost.
You think some of them may still be alive?
Who else could have blown up our ship? Keep your blaster up, Hal. And be careful. It's a hair trigger.
What are we doing back at the television machine, Captain? I thought we were looking for the lifeboat.
We are. Whoever blew up the ship must be around here. Might as well try to use the machine to track them down.
Yeah. Catch them with their own gadget, huh?
That's right. All right, Hal, you're the expert. Get up there and try to find them.
Hope it works.
Well?
Trying, Captain.
Nothing but mist.
I don't understand it. It reached all the way to Earth before I saw my father in Detroit.
Mary, my paper's all rumpled again.
What the? There it is again. My father in Detroit.
I've told him time and time again, I don't like a messy paper.
Look at that. No selector control, yet all the way to Earth. You can see the whole room, the goldfish bowl, the antimacassars on the chairs. Yet we can't pick up something less than a mile away.
Knock it off, Hal. We're wasting time. Come on. That gadget won't work. We'll have to comb these rooms inch by inch.
I don't understand.
Neither do I. We'll cut behind the hood here and go on. Briggs, you take the lead with the radiation ticker. We might be able to pick up a reading on where the rocket fuel is hidden.
Aye, sir.
All right, let's go.
I can't understand why that machine can pick up Earth and not...
Help, Captain!
Briggs, what is it?
Captain, help! I'm falling!
It's a cave-in. Hang on, Briggs.
I'm slipping, Captain.
Grab his wrist.
All right.
Now pull. Pull.
Higher.
Higher. What happened?
I was just walking along and the ground caved in.
What? It's some kind of shaft. Hold your light over it, Captain. Oh!
50 feet deep in a stone bottom. I could have split my head open like a grapefruit.
Something down there. Hold that light steady. Amazing. It's amazing.
Looks like a pile of bones to me. Two piles.
It may be the first skeletal remains ever found of the lost race. I've got to get down in there.
We haven't got time, Hal. Come on.
Let me have your binoculars. Wonderful. That small skeleton must be an infant. They've been laid out carefully. It's a burial chamber. The way they're lying, it's probably a mother and infant. Yeah? It's a tail. She's definitely anthropoid.
Hal, you mean apes?
Something like that. Yet they had atomic power and built cities across the galaxy. Amazing.
Oh, we haven't got time.
Hello, that's funny. The little one is different. The caudal bones are different. No tail.
Listen, Howell. What do I care whether they had tails or not? Come on now.
It's almost as if... Well, they did have atomics, and radiation does funny things to heredity. They had that problem of mutations in Detroit. Detroit! That must be it.
What?
The new atomics plant at Detroit. They tore down my father's house to make room for it. Quickly, Captain.
Oh, where are you going?
Back to the machine. I've got a theory that may solve the whole mystery of what happened to the lost race.
I don't care what happened to the dead ones, Hal. I want to find the living ones who wrecked my ship.
I think this machine may give us both answers. There's the house, Detroit, down to the last detail.
Oh, come on down. We know all
but
that.
But don't you understand? That house was torn down. I got a letter before we lifted off Earth. It's gone.
But it's on the television machine.
Captain, that machine isn't television. It's a thought projector.
What?
It only mirrors what's in your own mind.
But, Mr. Howell, we saw Earth. It was really there.
But it was just because we imagined it, Briggs. It's a thought projection. I can produce any mental image that occurs to me on this machine. New York, spaceport, a space guard patrol, anything.
Anything?
Yes. And now I think I know what inspired the lost race to do what they did. It was fear. Fear of what was in their own minds. They could all see it with machines like this.
But fear? Fear of what?
They foresaw the future. So they destroyed themselves. Every last one of them.
Hold it, Hal. Are you sure they're all dead?
100,000 years ago.
Then who blew up the ship and stole our lifeboat?
Danton.
Danton? But why?
He was pathologically jealous.
Yes, but blowing up the ship was like committing suicide. He wasn't crazy enough to do that.
The lost race was after they looked at this machine.
You mean Danton did too?
We found his wrench here.
You're right.
He must have looked at the machine and thought it was television. He must have seen all his fears about losing his girl confirmed. That was enough to make him completely unbalanced.
But he was with Kelly when that explosion went off. He's got an ironclad alibi. No, he hasn't. Wouldn't take a power man long to sneak back to the ship and rig a delayed action fuse. Howell, we've got to get back to the ship before Danton.
Never mind, Captain. Stay right there.
That's Danton.
In the dark. You make a perfect target there. Drop your guns. I got a blaster set at wide angle.
Drop him. He's got his cold.
I've been following you, Wharton. I wanted to tell you, I'm going back to Earth. I got the lifeboat hidden over that rise.
It won't work in deep space.
You believe me when I told you that, didn't you? Well, I've got it fixed. And with that bessendium fuel, it'll be a milk run. I'll reach the space guard station at Volta with a long, sad story about how the rest of you exploded in mid-space.
Danton, that's murder.
Yeah, yeah, that's just what it is. And easy, too.
Danton, you can't just leave us here.
Watch me. Sit in front of that machine and watch me. Yeah, I know what it is. I know it's a television without a transmitter. And I did some checking up. I've seen how you were stealing my calls. Trying to steal my girl.
Danton, you're sick. You
pretty
can't...
Pretty smart, that lost race. They built some machine. And it showed me plenty. It showed me enough to kill you.
Oh, you've got it all wrong. This isn't a television machine.
What are you trying to pull, Wharton? I saw it.
Those were your own thoughts, Danton. Those things you saw exist only in your mind.
Shut up before I blast all of you down. They're just trying to lie out of it, that's all. But I know the truth when I see it. And you're going to die.
All right, Danton, but you're not going to get away with it. Look at the machine.
What's that?
The machine. It's the Space Guard patrol, Danton. Look, they're coming.
X-3 to command. Spotted the Corellias, reported. Preparing to land.
That's the Space Guard, Danton.
Yeah, whole patrol.
You're lying, you're lying. They couldn't come. There wasn't any SOS.
X-3 to command. Preparing to land. There's a clearing.
That's enough, Howell. All right, Danton. They'll be coming over the horizon. Drop your gun and give yourself up.
Oh, no. Well, they're not going to catch me. I'll be away in that lifeboat before they land. Stay still, all of you. Stay where you are.
Danton.
I still got you covered.
Danton, look out behind you.
Burial shaft. He fell in. Hold the light down, Briggs. Well?
He's dead. Deader than the lost race. And what about those space guard cruisers?
Out of my head. I just imagined them, and there they were on the machine. Poor Danton believed they were real.
I wish they were real so we could get off this planet.
No, it doesn't matter. We know where the lifeboat is now. We can send one man to bring back help. And it won't be Danton.
The machine got him the same way it got the lost race. Through fear.
But what was the lost race afraid of, Howell?
Changing.
Changing?
Look at those skeletons down there. They had atomic energy, but they couldn't control it. Look, the baby's different from the other. The race was changing by mutation.
Mutation?
Look at those skeletons. Now imagine a shifted hip socket so they could walk upright. The baby was already without a tail.
But Howell, that would mean they were changing into...
Yes, Captain. The lost race committed suicide rather than face the fear of seeing their descendants become such horrible creatures as men.
You have just heard another adventure into the unknown world of the future, the world of Dimension X. Tonight's drama was based on the Murray Leinster story, The Lost, and was adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were Matt Crowley as Captain Wharton, Roger DeCoven as Howell, and Joseph Julian as Danton. Your host was Norman Rose. Tomorrow, it's Sam Spade. Now hear Truth or Consequences on NBC.
All right, that is Dimension X with The Lost Race from May 20th, 1950. Joseph Julian in that cast along with Matt Crowley. And that was a Murray Leinster story. He was the author of that. We also had Roger DeCoven in the cast. Great cast from 1950 as heard on NBC. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa, in our next hour, it's a good crime sort of police drama on the lineup. And that stars Bill Johnstone in that program. Bill Johnstone for a while played the Shadow on radio. Good episode from 1952 coming your way.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger Battish. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night beginning at 11 p.m. We play all your favorite classic radio shows, The Shadow, Jack Benny, Boston Blackie. Speaking of Boston Blackie, Lisa.
We have a Boston Blackie tonight at 11 p.m.
Yeah.
I know everybody says Boston Blackie. Here it is. This is for you.
Yeah, tonight when we come back here at 11 p.m., it's Boston Blackie and the Great Gildersleeve.
Two great shows.
Yeah,
miss it.
Yeah, we play all your favorites, sci-fi, westerns, detectives, you name it. Saturdays and Sunday nights, 11 p.m. is our start time. So mark your calendar, tell a friend about the WGN Radio Theater. My co-host, Lisa Wolf. We've been doing this for over 3 years.
We have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a blast.
It seems like just yesterday.
You know, it seems like there's like we do the show. And then there's like 1 or 2 days off, and then we're back here.
It does.
What happens to the week?
I don't know. I think we just spend it preparing for the next weekend.
I guess. All right. In this hour, we will tune in to the lineup at True Crime Case. It was a lot like Dragnet. It was, you know, it was all about a police lineup. They created a whole show around the idea and of a police lineup. You know,
they still do lineups.
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. They have the two-way mirror, you know.
Yeah,
so
no,
they,
I know.
So the victim cannot see the people behind.
That would be a one-way mirror.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You're right. Sorry.
Two-way mirror.
That's right. One-way mirror.
Well, like I said, the
two-way mirror would be a pane of glass, I guess.
Yes, it would.
One-way mirror, right. And, yeah, and then so I guess somebody said, hey, I got an idea. And someone else said, yeah, what? They said, you know, the lineup, you know, when you line people up in the for the victim to look at the bad guys and girls.
They're not bad guys.
Well,
maybe they're good guys.
Potential bad guys. They said, how about a whole radio show about this concept where you start out with the bad guys and girls coming in, and then the victim is there with a one-way mirror.
I don't know. That doesn't seem like a good... I don't know. The power of suggestion would make you want to choose one, even if none of them were there, I would think.
Well, I was chosen.
No, but I'm just saying if
Roger,
if
did you
your
hear the story earlier?
There,
Roger?
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the rules for Name That Tune.
Yeah, well, no, this is a true story, Roger.
Okay, sure, okay.
Back when I was about 21, 22 years old, I had a video store.
Yeah.
And I was working one night, and a police officer came in and said, excuse me, what time do you get off? I said, 11 o'clock. He said, could you please come to, this was in Schiller Park.
Okay.
Could you please come to the Schiller Park police station? We're trying to round up some people to be in a lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sure, you know, I of course. And I went there. And I'll never forget this. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it was a girl. It was a girl. I don't know what happened. Somebody like, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. And I'm in this lineup with these other kind of
ne'er-do-wells.
Ne'er-do-wells. And she chose me.
I think Roger could tell the story for
you. Yeah, she chose me, Roger.
I know.
She said, that's the one. That's the guy right there.
I know people who wake up from a nightmare in the middle of the night and they select you from out of a lineup.
I know. But do you believe that? And the police officers were like, okay, just go home. You know, I'm like, yeah, right. What? You're not going to arrest me. And they're like, no, just go home.
How close to the real guy did you look like?
I don't know. Oh, all I remember.
It was a girl.
I got out of there as quickly as I could. All right, but we have a lineup episode coming your way. But first, I had curly long hair back then.
That's what I'm saying.
Cat's Pride is our main sponsor. We play a game called Cat's Pride. Crack the quote. What's the movie, Lisa?
Jurassic Park, 1993.
Okay, wow. Okay. 1993 was the first Jurassic Park?
Yes,
that's a long time
ago. I know.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. What do they win?
They are going to win a Twilight Zone.
Oh, a Twilight Zone 4-CD set.
4-CD set.
Very cool. All right, call us right now. Win a Twilight Zone set. Play the game. We'll be right back. Wait a minute. We'll do
Caller 6.
Caller 6. All right, call us now.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Hi, Gary.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm good.
Good.
I'm good, Lisa. How are you? How are you and Carl doing?
We're doing great. Glad to meet you through. Glad to talk to you.
Okay.
I'm all ready for this Jurassic Park, but that's the original one, right?
Yes, exactly. All right. You with us, Roger? Or are you
working
on Name That Tune?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, here we go. Number one, we will earn a fortune in our lifetime. Number two, if you make a sale, we can earn a hefty commission. Number three, we're going to make a fortune with this place.
Hmm.
What sounds right?
Who goes first?
You do.
Do I get a lifeline?
No, sure.
I'm going to say it's number three.
Number three, we're going to make a fortune with this place. Roger, what do you think?
You know what? For some weird reason, I want to pick two.
If you make a sale, we can earn a hefty commission.
Yeah. Hmm.
Carl?
I'm going to say three. I'm going to go with Gary.
All right. When all fails.
Oh,
all right. Let's hear it.
We're going to make a fortune with this place.
And that was good thinking because we normally don't go with Roger. So, Gary, Gary, you did a great job. We're
so... Which one was it?
It's yours. You got it right.
You got it right, Gary.
Oh,
yeah, you got the right one.
That boy, Carl and Gary.
That's right. Well, it's all you, Gary. You have won a Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set, and it's hosted by Stacy Keach, and you are going to absolutely love it, I promise you.
Oh, I thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Gary, for calling in.
Very much, yeah. And you have a good evening.
You too, buddy.
Good show tomorrow.
Thank you.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Boston Blackie and the Great Gildersleeve when we come back here at 11 p.m. All right. It's time now for the lineup. This was a series set in San Francisco. The lineup gave audiences a look behind the scenes at a police headquarters. And Bill Johnstone played Lieutenant Ben Guthrie. Wally Mayer was Sergeant Matt Greb. And, you know, Dragnet, Lisa, was such a huge hit for NBC that CBS tried to win some of the Dragnet audience with the lineup. They put it on same time as Dragnet, tried to pull some people over. They tapped Elliot Lewis, Mr. Radio, as the producer-director, premiered in 1950. And like Dragnet, the series focused on true crime cases from closed files. And it was a very good series. It lasted till 1953 and made a transition to television for 6 years. It was on television twice as long as it was on radio, right?
Well, TV had a great start there.
Yeah, it did. All right, here is an episode from 1952, November 12th to be exact. It's called The Buggered Bunko Boys. Here's part one of The Lineup.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now by transcription behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city. for under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
This is Mrs. Pomeroy, Lieutenant Guthrie.
Hello.
How do you do, Lieutenant?
Thank you for coming down, Mrs. Pomeroy. We can understand how you hate to be bothered at a time like this.
I want to do anything I can to help. Have you arrested him?
We don't know yet. Would you like to take a chair over there by the wall, please? I'll be with you in a second.
Oh, yes, of course. Is it over here?
Yes, any one of them. Well, three more cases, Klein.
Oh.
Yeah. Looks like they're out to make a record.
It sure does.
Mrs. Milliken come down?
She's pretty sick.
Oh?
Mary Webster's here. By the door.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, have Asher sit with her when he comes in.
Right.
Pardon me, please. Excuse me. Sorry. Well, I understand you have another boy in the service, Mrs. Pomeroy.
Yes, Eddie. He's just 21.
Uh-huh.
Eddie's been in the Navy 18 months now. He should be coming home on leave pretty soon. I'll be awfully glad to see him.
I'll bet you will.
Has this man done this sort of thing to many other people?
Well, we've had several reports in the last week or so. It sounds like a pair of them are working it together.
Pretty mean thing to do, taking advantage of a situation like that, isn't it?
It sure is, Mrs. Palmer.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Carter, Sergeant Pete Carter. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications. When the prisoners leave here, they're sent to the washroom and dressed back into their jail clothes. Makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. Now, the questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. All right, bring on the line. Okay, keep it moving, boys. Right over here to the end of the stage. Now turn and face the screen, hands at your sides. Number 10, get your hands out of your pockets. When I call out your name, step over to the circle in the middle of the stage. Answer my questions in a good loud voice so the people out there can hear you. Okay, number 1, Ambrose Davy, Grand Theft Merchandise. Where do you live?
Right. Pasadena, California.
Your address is the last place you slept. You've heard that ever since you were booked in, all of you. Your address is the last place you slept. Okay, let's have your address, Ambrose.
Well, I don't know. It's a place on 3rd Street. Except I don't know what the number is.
What are you doing in town?
I don't know.
Don't know? You working?
No.
You looking for work?
Well, not particularly.
What kind of work do you do, Ambrose?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know anybody.
I don't see anybody that I know.
Oh,
who are you arrested with?
This is just the first line. There'll be three more.
Oh.
Number 7 and number 10. Frederick Papish and Joseph Walsman, huh?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I didn't know what was their name.
You all live at the place on 3rd Street, don't you, Ambrose?
Yeah, I got the same room. Sleep in the same bed, matter of fact.
But you don't know them?
No, we're always sleeping. Ain't had time to get acquainted.
Well, maybe we can fix that up for all of you, Ambrose. Oh, move on down.
Yes, sir.
Number 2, Richard Davidson, open charge. Where do you live, Richard?
4367 Newport Avenue.
4367?
Yeah.
That where you were picked up?
Yeah.
Hot in here, don't you
funny?
Think?
It is a little.
Nothing.
You can get rid of the smile.
You feel all right?
Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
You own a car?
No.
You own a gun?
No.
How do you make a living?
I'm a painter. I work for a contractor.
How long you been a painter?
I've been in the union since 1938.
Anyone arrested with you?
My brother Sam. He's in the hospital.
Lieutenant,
we know where he is.
The order, you put him there.
Stand up straight. Straighter.
Yeah.
Give me a hand.
Hold your head up.
Stuff here. Yeah. Come on.
Where are you from?
Let's take her up to my office.
Yeah.
Better now?
Much better. Thank you so much. Pretty silly thing to do.
Well, maybe you'd better rest here a few minutes.
No, I'm fine.
Sergeant Quine will drive you home, Miss Pomeroy.
Oh, that's a lot of trouble for you people. I have my own car here.
You might get woozy again.
Honestly, I only faint once every 20 years. I never could afford to faint raising two boys all alone.
Well, if you feel like it tomorrow morning, we'd like to have you come down and look at some pictures in our files. You think you could do that?
But, excuse me, didn't I hear you mention to the sergeant that those other people, the ones who were cheated too, were going to look at pictures tonight?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to look tonight.
Well, tomorrow will be soon enough, Miss Pomeroy. You better go home and rest.
But it'd be faster, wouldn't it? I mean, I just might recognize that man in one of those pictures.
Well, I don't think you're feeling too
well. I feel fine, and I'll feel better still when you arrest that man who came to my house with that awful story. I felt terrible when I found out that watch was nothing but junk, and he just brought it around and said Ralph had ordered it so he could cheat me out of a few dollars. The engraving to Mom with love. Ralph dead now. Maybe if I look at some of those pictures, I can save some other people trouble.
Okay, Miss Pomeroy. Sergeant Quine will take you down.
I'll get it.
Even though we're anxious to get an identification, Mrs. Pomeroy, if you don't feel up to it...
Oh, no, Lieutenant. It seems the least I can do. Why, just the thought...
Got another complaint.
Oh, same thing?
Yeah, priest at St. John's Cathedral.
Oh?
His brother was killed in Korea last week.
Lieutenant. Uh-huh. A pretty good-looking clock, Father.
Oh, it's that all right, but it's certainly not worth $50. It doesn't even run.
More like five. Did he give it to you in a box, Father?
Yes, I believe so.
You still have the box?
Well, Mrs. James, my housekeeper, will know. I suppose it's still around. It's just a plain gift box. There was no lettering of any kind.
Uh-huh.
Hard to believe anyone would do a thing like this. It's hard to believe, that's all.
We appreciate how you feel, Father. You say he brought it this morning?
Yes, right after 8 o'clock mass.
And your brother's name appeared on the casualty list in last night's paper?
That's right. I heard from the War Department about Bill's death Sunday afternoon. When I told this young fellow that Bill had been killed, he acted like he couldn't believe it. He seemed so genuine. He went on how he and Bill had known each other off and on for years. He said they'd gone to a cathedral high together. I should have known something was wrong about his story then. This man was at least 32, and Bill was only 26, his last birthday. That was August 11th. I didn't get his name when he introduced himself, and I asked him for his name again. And he told me it was Richard Norton.
Mm-hmm. What did he look like, Father?
Well, he's a husky-looking fellow, Lieutenant, about 6 feet, 175, 80 pounds. Dark brown hair, brown eyes, medium build.
And what was he wearing?
Very nice clothes. Gray slacks and sport coat, blue one.
Anything outstanding about his appearance? Scars, something like that. Mole, birthmark.
Well, no, nothing I can remember. Oh, wait a minute. Now, he wore a kind of perfume. It was cologne of some kind. Maybe it was after shave lotion, but it was pretty strong. That may not help you, but I remember that.
Did you notice if he had a car parked out in front?
No, I didn't look at all.
When he asked you for the money for the clock, what did you think?
Well, he didn't ask for it. This bird was real good, Lieutenant Guthrie. After he carried on about how shocked he was to hear of Bill's death, he said he'd like to have me come over for dinner Sunday with him and his wife. Now, somehow he mentioned that Bill had ordered the clock from overseas. Oh, he had it engraved and everything. He said he'd done it as a special favor to Bill. Now, I volunteered to pay for it. I had to force the money on him.
Now, you give him a check or cash?
A cash. So I hooked the clock up, and of course it didn't work. I had the telephone number and the address he'd given me, and I called several times to tell him about it. No one answered. And I thought that was funny because it was supposed to be a wholesale house. I looked in the directory and I didn't find his name either.
What was the name of the wholesale house he was supposed to represent?
A Gift Products Incorporated. I called your office after I checked the school records at Cathedral. No Richard Norton ever went to school.
We're glad you called us, Father. No telling how many people he's swindled around here that haven't called in.
Well, we'd like to take this along with us, if you don't mind.
Why, surely.
Oh, by the way, Father... What branch of the service was your brother in?
A Marine Corps. He was a chaplain.
3537. WB Metropolitan Center. To the man.
Hi.
Morning.
Quine tell you about the four new cases?
Yeah. The MO is exactly the same on every one of them. Casualty list is published one day and they close in the next.
Pretty slick operators, all right.
And this one, a woman with three children. Husband's a captain in the army. They took her for $230.
What did they sell her?
Toys. He ordered made special for the kids before he left for overseas. Asher took the complaint. Said she just sat there and cried about it. Her husband was killed 3 weeks ago. Any luck on Norton?
Oh, nothing in the alias file that helps.
Well, we'll keep hauling in every known bunco artist. Those with W files and those without. Look at this stuff. Oh. Pens, pencils, watches, bookends, lamps, toys. Selling it for 10 times what it's worth.
They must have a source of supply.
Could be anywhere. Nothing standard brand.
You'd think people would read the papers and think before they fell for the line these two are handing out.
Yeah. Working the obituaries, the oldest one in the world. He just happened to specialize in war casualties.
How about a stakeout on the homes of every name on the casualty list?
Well, that'll be our next step. They don't come into something pretty soon. Tie up a lot of men.
Hi, boys.
Hi,
Quine.
Just got a call from Crockett. He's been in the mug files all morning with that army widow and Mrs. Pomeroy.
Any luck?
They picked one. Here's a package.
Joseph Harrison Langley, huh?
Yep.
Know him, Ben?
No, but I will.
More from the lineup. Yeah, I was waiting for him to say that.
I was
more
say,
from
what?
The lineup after the, you know, that type of thing. All right, well, we're going to take a 4 second break and then we'll be right back. See, that was 4 seconds.
Now
Lisa.
You know what 4 seconds sounds like.
That's pretty quick.
I can name that.
Exactly.
So we've decided we're going to play a version of Name That Tune. We'll start it tonight when we come back here at 11 p.m. Roger is going to be the master of ceremonies.
Roger is our host for our show.
And he's going to challenge us with songs from the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. And we will decide how quickly. He'll give us some hints, and then he will let Lisa and I name that tune. Type of thing.
Well, we're going to challenge each other. Yeah. I can name that tune in 5 seconds.
I can name it in 4.
Name that tune.
All right, and then we'll try to do it. All right, we'll see how that works out. And if it's a complete bust, it's completely Roger and Lisa's fault.
Exactly. And if it works out well, it was your idea.
My idea.
No, yeah, it's clear.
That's how it works. That's what my contract says, at least.
You have a contract?
One that I wrote.
Exactly.
All right.
Did anybody sign it?
We still have the conclusion to the lineup coming your way right after the news.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Hey, Roger.
Yes.
I know you're a big Boston Blackie fan.
Oh, I love Boston Blackie.
And we will have an episode of Boston Blackie when we come back tonight. But here's the really interesting thing.
What?
You know, you've heard lots of Boston Blackie episodes. We play them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is from the syndicated version. Dick Kalmar plays Boston Blackie. However, before that series, because that series started in 1945, lasted into the 50s, before that series was on the air, there was a summer replacement for the Amos and Andy show. Is in 1944, they decided to bring the character that was in the movies, you know, Boston Blackie was in the movies. Mm-hmm. Chester Morris, of course, played that character in the movies. I think it was 14 Columbia Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And they lured Chester Morris to the microphone for about 8 episodes of Boston Blackie, and none of them existed prior to my being able to get into the Library of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many years ago, I had a deal with NBC, and NBC had a deal with the Library of Congress, and their entire library of episodes was there. And I went, because I had a license agreement with NBC, I was able to go into the Library of Congress, and the very first thing I looked for were these 8 Boston Blackie Chester Morris episodes.
Oh.
And I got them out of the Library of Congress, and we will play one of those tonight.
Wonderful.
Chester Morris.
He's the original. I love the old movies.
Yeah.
They are great.
Yeah, there's, I believe there was 14 Columbia Pictures, and they were able to get him to play Boston Blackie on radio in a summer series, and that's what we have for you tonight.
Can't wait to hear it.
It's going to be fun.
Yep.
And then we'll play The Great Gildersleeve, which is my brother's least favorite radio show. Although I love The Great Gildersleeve, don't you?
I think if your brother doesn't like it, you should not play it on WGN. Just a thought.
Wrong. Wrong. All right. Well, we are listening to the lineup. Let's hear the conclusion now of the Buggered Bunko Boys on the lineup.
Somebody's coming. Hello?
Hello. What is it, please?
Police officers. Might ask you a few questions, if we may.
Do you want to see him?
If you don't mind.
Just a minute. All right, come in. Sit down anyway. Be down in a minute.
Thanks.
Ben. Box in the corner.
Electric clocks, huh?
Like the one that priest got.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Joe?
Joseph Langley?
Yeah, what's he done now?
Oh, just routine.
Good me. It's never routine with him. What's he done? What's the matter? Is he in trouble?
Would you mind telling us your name?
I'm Jenny, Joe's wife. What's up?
We'd like to talk to him, Mrs. Langley. Do you know where he is?
No.
Doesn't he live here?
Not anymore.
When was the last time you saw your husband, Mrs. Langley?
Thursday morning.
Where?
Right here. We had a big argument. He packed up his things and left, and I was glad to see him go. Too much for me, I'll tell you that.
Yes, ma'am. Didn't he forget something?
Hmm? Oh, that stuff. Yeah, I suppose so.
Do you think he'll be back for it?
I don't know about him. I just don't know. What's he done?
Do you know where he went?
I haven't the slightest. Not the slightest. And I don't care, so long as he stays away from me.
Where does Joe work?
Joe work? He told me he's been selling things door to door. I can imagine what he's selling. I don't know where you can find him, officers. Believe me, if I knew, I'd tell you. I'd tell you right away.
Has he had any phone calls? Messages?
No.
You mind if we look at that box?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Is this the only thing of his that's around here?
Yeah, a couple of old shirts.
Mm. Any of his friends been around to see him?
No.
You know a man named Arthur Fries?
No.
Tall, thin man, partially bald. Yeah. There he is. Hmm?
No, why?
He's a friend of your husband's. How about this man?
No?
John Gibney's his name.
No, I've never seen him before. I suppose he's a friend of Joe's, too.
Yeah.
Joe working one of those lousy singing rackets again?
We don't know, Mrs. Langley. We're trying to find out. You ever see this man before?
No.
This one?
No.
You sure?
Never seen him. No, wait. This one.
Carl Mason?
Yeah, I met him last week. Well, that isn't the name he gave me, but I met him last week.
Where?
At Rapolo's Rubiat Cafe. Joe and I went there for dinner, and this man showed up, and all three of us ate together. Wait. He said his name was Nelson? No.
Norton?
Yeah, that's it, Norton.
Richard Norton?
Yeah. Not Carl Mason, Richard Norton. It's him, all right.
Do you know where he lives?
No. Seemed like a good friend of Joe's, though. You working with Joe on this?
No, we think so.
Well, I'll be. That cuts it. He looked as straight as an arrow to me. Come on, what are they working?
They're going to people who've had sons or husbands killed in Korea and selling them junk they said had been ordered before the death occurred.
Are you sure they're the right ones?
Pretty sure.
That's awful low, even for Joe.
Manager, I'm the manager. You want what?
A routine investigation.
Well, I don't do anything.
I'm just trying to locate a couple of people, Mr. Rapolo. We know they were in here last week sometime. I thought you could help us.
How? Wait, what is it? Who?
Show him those pictures, Bing.
Yeah. Have you ever seen this man here before, Mr. Rapola?
No.
How about this one?
No.
I'd like to talk to some of the other people who work for you, if you don't mind. It's pretty important.
Oh, let me see this.
This one?
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh.
You think you recognize him after all?
Well, a little older than this, but looks like Mr. Norton.
You come in here often?
Quite a bit. Once, twice a week, maybe. He liked my food. Why?
This man, ever with him?
Well, I can't tell. Mr. Norton, though, he live around here.
How do you know?
Will he come in sometime in a sports shirt, need a shave, sometime in slippers, for a quick bite, you know, breakfast maybe?
Do you have any idea where he lives?
No. He's somewhere near here.
Did he ever write a check for you?
No. Don't take checks here from anybody.
What
he done?
Just want to talk to him. If you see him again, would you mind giving us a ring? Here's my card.
Oh, sure. You low-key live around here someplace.
Does he drive a car?
No, never see one.
Oh. You remember the last time he was here, Mr. Rapola?
Oh, sure.
When?
Half hour ago.
Well, we know who they are. Carl Mason, alias Richard Norton, and Joe Langley. Now all we have to do is find them.
Grind, I want Crockett and Murph to keep an eye on Langley's wife. Another man at the place on 16th.
Okay.
And a man in the Rubiat Cafe. You and Asher, you take it here.
Okay.
Pete and I work it here. You get those blow-ups?
Yeah, they're on my desk. Our job covering every residence in that neighborhood.
It's harder to face the people who come in with complaints.
What about here, Ben?
Yeah. Getting chilly again.
I kind of like it, though. Makes you feel better.
Yeah?
You the manager here?
Yeah, what is it?
Police. Mind looking at a couple of pictures for us?
No. So?
Ever seen either one of them before?
No. Why? What they done?
I just want to talk to them. Thanks for your help.
Sure.
I never thought there could be so many places for someone to live.
Yeah. Well, that finishes this sign.
Let's try the other.
Who, him?
Yes, ma'am. This one?
No, I never see him before in my life.
Now, how about this one?
Mistake, I think. Nobody like him ever live here. Sorry.
Late.
Yeah. I'm getting hungry.
Me too. Yeah, maybe he doesn't live in this neighborhood after all.
I'm beginning to think you're right.
No, ma'am. Now, rates are the same. I said rates are the same. $2 a day. Yes, ma'am. Checking out time is 3 o'clock. Yes, gentlemen.
I'd like to talk to you a minute.
Yes, sir. What is it?
We're police officers. This man registered here?
No. Why?
Now, how about this man?
No. Oh, wait. Yes. Oh, yes, of course. With the number and that haircut and everything. That's Mr. Norris.
Norris, huh? What room's he in?
Well, he was in 310. He checked out this morning. He didn't leave a forwarding address.
Did he get a taxi or a car?
Well, I didn't call a cab. No. Wait. May I see that other picture?
Here.
This man picked him up in a car. I don't know where they went.
Back where we started from, Ben. Maybe they pulled stakes and lit out of town. No more complaints.
Maybe. Where's the waitress?
You decide yet?
The stew. Usually pretty good here.
Yeah, I think I'll try the fish.
Mm.
A cigarette?
Yeah, no.
You see that package in, Mason?
Yeah.
Can't understand a guy like that. Came from a nice home and a nice education. College graduate.
Honor man.
Yeah. He was married once to a girl in Philadelphia. Society.
Yeah. Divorced in 46. Been in trouble ever since. Uh-oh.
What?
Quine.
Thought I'd find you two here.
Hi.
Hi, sit down. Had dinner yet?
No. Crockett and Murphy just phoned in. They picked up Mason and Langley.
Where?
At the Rubaiyat. Bringing them in now.
Haven't got a thing to hold me on, you know it. Now, come on, I've been pretty nice up to now.
Just sit down, Mason. We aren't through with you yet.
I don't know what you're trying to get me to say. Honestly, I don't.
You and Langley have been working a confidence game in the city for a month now. You know we've got you cold on it.
I just don't know what this is all about. May I phone my lawyer?
In a minute.
Well, I'd like to phone him now. I have that right, don't I?
Where do you work?
I told you, in Philadelphia. I'm on a little vacation here, is all.
Who do you work for in Philadelphia?
I told you once.
I forgot. Tell me again.
The Golden Eagle Supply Company. Now, how about that call to my lawyer?
Sure. Who's your boss there?
I don't have one.
What do you mean you don't have one? Isn't there a general manager you have to answer to?
No. Now, look, you've got the wrong man.
Oh, we have, huh? Tell me, how do you explain this newspaper you were carrying when you were picked up? With a couple of names circled on the casualty list.
I don't have to explain that to you.
How do you explain that box of stuff that was in your car?
I told you. They're just samples is all. A lot of it was stolen from my hotel room a month or so ago.
Why didn't you report it to the police?
I did.
We don't have a record of it.
I don't keep your records. Look, I'm getting a little angry with you two. You've kept me here an hour. You haven't charged me with a thing. Given me any reason why I'm being held. I don't know how Mr. Langley feels, but I'm certainly going to take legal action against you, too, personally. You have no right to do this. Now, you either let me go or charge me, and let me contact my attorney. I won't answer any more questions.
Quine.
Yeah, Ben.
How are Murph and Crockett doing with Langley?
Run around, wants a lawyer, getting nowhere. How about Mason?
Same stuff. Let's get it over with.
Now, just where are you taking me? I told you I wanted to see a lawyer. What right do you
have? To your left.
You people are actually crazy. Crazy, that's what you are.
Okay, we are. But I don't know about some of those people you swindled, Mason.
What do you mean?
They're waiting to have a look at you. You and Langley, right now.
I refuse
Come
to go
on.
With... I've done nothing to be brought here like a common criminal and held out for people to look at.
And you haven't got anything to worry about.
To the next room, Ben.
Okay. Langley?
What?
You stand over there.
You people are really going to look silly.
Yeah, we know. Take off your hat.
You know what they're talking about?
I told them all they're crazy. Just crazy.
You want to stand here?
My lawyer will take care of you.
Mm-hmm. Crockett, you over there. Quine, there.
Right there.
Murph.
You aren't going to prove anything. Why don't you save yourselves some trouble?
Just stand still, eh?
Okay, Ben?
Yeah, bring him in. Stand up straight, everybody. Straight.
All right, folks, let me just step in here for a minute.
All right. You, any of you people see anybody you recognize there?
That third man, Lieutenant.
Listen?
Yes. He's the one who came to my house.
She's crazy. I never saw her before in my life.
I've seen that one, Lieutenant.
He brought the clock to you?
Yes. He's the one.
What clock?
Okay, Father. Miss Pomeroy. Thanks for coming down on such short notice.
Miss Shirley. You want to step in here, please? There's some verification cards for you to sign. I'll be right with you.
Of course.
All right, now. All right.
Thanks.
What do you say, Mason? Langley? We can get 24 more people down here to identify you both. You can make a statement now and save yourself some trouble.
What good would it do us to cop out now?
Never mind, Joe, never mind. So they got us. So what? I know people. I have connections. My family's got money. They'll never make it stick.
That's pretty funny. One bunkie trying to con another one.
Hey, why don't you book us and quit talking? We'll be out by morning.
Not out of this jail, you won't. There isn't enough money or connections to spring you on this one. You're going to pay for every rotten, dirty story you've handed these people around town.
Dumb cops.
Better take them out of here.
Let's go.
Hard to figure a guy like that, Ben. Awful hard to figure.
No, it isn't, Pete.
Huh?
Just a cheap crook with an expensive background.
The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie, with Jack Moyles as Sergeant Pete Carger, was written by E. Jack Newman, with music composed and conducted by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Hi Everback, Jeanette Nolan, John McIntyre, Jay Novello, Howard McNear, Virginia Gregg, and James McCallion. The Lineup was transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. Dan Coverley speaking, and remember, America listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
That's The Lineup, November 12th, 1952, the Buggard Bunko Boys, and that starred Bill Johnstone and heard on CBS.